There is an ancient book that remains a mystery to most of the Earth's inhabitants. It tells us why we are here, reveals the mysteries of heaven and the horrors of hell, and the hero is God himself in our Lord Jesus Christ. Learn of the Ancient of Days by listening to Bible Believers Fellowship, Saturdays at noon and Sundays at 9:30 p.m. on 91.5 Freedom FM.
Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of KJV, BibleBelievers.com, and this special study of Ezekiel chapter 38 and the Gog-Magog War. This will be a four-part series covering the entire chapter and showing that the stage is being set for this prophetic war prophesied by Ezekiel. We will be featuring all four parts of this study along with past and future studies related to this subject on a page designated under the name Gog and Magog in the video pages menu. So be sure to watch for that page of links that will provide all of our related videos and messages at KJVBibleBelievers.com. And now we join part one of our four-part study as we begin this study of the Gog, Magog,
you can all come in here and I can just preach a fluffy message and say, God loves you, you're wonderful, that sort of stuff. And that's what most people want today. But the reason we exist is because we want to be Bible students. We want to understand what's going on in the world. And the way to understand what's going on in the world is to understand the book. And so I hope you come here with the attitude, give me some meat, preacher, give me some meat. Give me something I can really, you know, chew on. Something that really matters. Something really means something. And I'll tell you, this means something. And I want to say this again at some point in the message, I'm sure, but we don't know for sure when this is going to happen. This may happen before the rapture. It may happen after the rapture. Good, solid teachers differ on when they think this is going to happen. But one thing I believe is by looking at the world situation, seeing this size up, we know that it's close, and if it's close, the rapture's got to be close. So that's our motivation for getting in here, and I hope that stokes your interest at least enough to you pay attention this morning. All right, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time we can spend in your Word. We thank you for the fact that we have a God who is in control and has told us ahead of time what's going to happen. Lord, may this encourage us. May it cause us to be reinvigorated in our faith in your Word and to allow it to light a fire in us, that we will use what time we have left on this earth to serve you, to live a holy life, to live in a way that's pleasing in your sight, and in a way that you can use us. And we want to be your vessels, Lord, to be used to reach out to others, to preach the gospel, to give someone a Christ-like word of encouragement when they need it, to give them a helping hand when we can do something to help them, to show the love of Jesus Christ by telling and preaching the truth as well as living it out. And Lord, we thank you for every opportunity, including coming here this morning and being able to obey your commandment not to forsake the gathering of ourselves together, even more so as we see the end coming. And we just ask, Lord, that you help us to pay attention, to be taught by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you're going to see this map a few times, so I'm not going to get into it right now, but this was given to me some time ago. I don't even know where it came from. And I went on the internet to look, and I've seen other people use it, but nobody seems to know where it came from. But my research shows it is very likely very accurate as to relating the biblical names of the countries involved in this thing and where they are today. So that's the point of that map, the reason you see that up there. We're going to see as we study this and we see these nations, if you pay attention to what's going on in the news. Now listen, I'm not telling you to go watch ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, Time, Newsweek. That's not news, that's propaganda. Okay? I am telling you to simply pay attention to what's going on in the world. Now, you can glean some things from those news agencies, but I recommend you go right to the source. If you want to find out what's going on in Israel, then you can go to the library or get on the internet and get the papers in Israel. See what's going on. The Jerusalem Post, the Israel Times, there's numerous different papers over there. They'll tell you what's going on over there. There's also some good news organizations that, you know, I think are pretty trustworthy, and that would be like WorldNet Daily is one. American Family News is another. Then there's One News, I think they call it online, One News Now. So there are good news sources out there. And then you always, I don't care where you get your news, you judge it just like you do anything else, by the Word of God. So when they say Israel's wrong for doing this, doing what? Building on their own land? The Bible says they're right. So you got to watch that. Judge everything by what the Scripture says. So let's start. Let's read a couple of verses in Ezekiel 38, beginning in verse 1. Read it with me. "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him." Now, those, and I just, those were, was that verses 1 and 2?
Yeah.
Oh, make sure make sure I reference that correctly. In those two verses, you're already introduced to some of the main players in this war that's going to take place. Gog, and you see on the map, you'll see Magog. They don't actually list Gog on this map. But Gog, I believe, is referring to Russia. Now, if you went back to the days of Ezekiel, it may not be the entire nation of Russia. They're not going to have the exact same borders. But you get the idea as you're reading this that Ezekiel is referring to a whole region, and he names the different peoples who were living in that area during his day. Magog is identified with that landmass that today is covered by what I call the stands. Uzbekistan, Pakistan, all those stand countries. And when a country has I always joke about it, when their last name is Stan, that's Muslim. That's what that means. So you're talking about the Muslim confederation up there that is south of Gog, which is Russia. Then you have Meshech, which is identified with the east area of Turkey in Ezekiel's day. And you have Tubal, which was kind of northeast, east but north of Meshech. And that's just the first few countries there mentioned. He continues in verses 3 and 4. Read that with me. "And say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords." Now, he says there he's going to put hooks into thy jaws. And that means that they don't want this war. Now you say, well, why would they fight? Listen, go study all the wars. The Revolutionary War, listen, our founders did not want war. They were forced into it. Now, there were some in America who were trying to force their hand, as well as England doing what they did to force it. But the majority of people who fought in the Revolutionary War wanted to get along with King George. And they were saying, stop taxing us to death. Stop taking our property. Stop putting soldiers to quarter in our personal private homes. Stop taking our goods. Stop taking our horses. They were just raping and pillaging. And they were forced. And that's what the Declaration of Independence... How many of you read the Declaration of Independence? You read it recently? The more you learn and the more you understand what's going on in the world, you ought to go back and read that Declaration. And you'll see the reason they fought the war was because they were forced into it. They didn't want it. Listen... the North and the South in the Civil War. They did not want that war. Neither side did. Abraham Lincoln said he didn't want the war, said if he could save the Union without freeing a single slave, he would do it. But then he did instigate it at Sumter, to say. So, give him, just laid out there whether he wanted, but I'll tell you, the Yanks, the people who lived in the North, and most of the politicians didn't want that war. And the people in the South knew they were outnumbered and very likely to lose that war. They didn't really want that war. Go through all the wars. World War I, listen, people, America did not want to get in that war, but most of Europe didn't want that war either. Ferdinand that was assassinated? Yeah, Archduke Ferdinand was assassinated, and that then was a domino effect. Because this country had signed a treaty with that country, they were obligated to war. Well, then they had signed a treaty with this other country, they were obligated to war, and overnight you had a world war. Well, that's the kind of thing that is happening here with Russia today. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but Russia has agreements with Iran and the Stan countries and Turkey and Syria. Right now, what's going on with Syria? Russia is in neck deep into that. You say, why? They're up there. They've made agreements with Syria. They've supplied Syria with their arms, and Syria has supplied them with things Russia needs. And it's I scratch your back, you scratch mine. And if they go to war, they both go to war. And that's what's going on. Russia will not really want to fight, but God is going to force their hand. That's what it means when he says he's going to put a hook in their jaw. Just like you catch a fish. And so I said, well, don't you need some bait? I don't know about you, but have you ever caught a fish without bait?
No.
I have.
I have too.
Yeah. I'm not saying that's the best way to do it, but I've caught fish without a bait. And some fish are down there and they just see something flutter and they get on it. Well, that's just my answer to anybody who says, where's the bait? Well, don't need bait sometimes. Verse 5 then tells us, adds some of the secondary characters to this thing, but they're going to be a part of it. It says Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them. All of them with shield and helmet. Now, those three nations, two of them are still called the same thing today. So that's a pretty easy slam dunk there to figure out what he's talking about. But Persia actually refers to Iran, but it also encompasses Iraq. Ancient Persia wasn't just Iran. You'll hear some preachers say it's Iran. Well, it's Iran and Iraq, if you go back and look at the Persian territory in Ezekiel's day. But Iran was known as Persia right up to the time that the Shah took over. And that was in the last 100 years. I can't remember what year that was. So Iran has been known as Persia right up to very recently. But you have Iran and you have Ethiopia back in Ezekiel's day was bigger than it is today. It took up a large portion of East Africa. Libya took up the whole Horn of Africa. And Horn meaning the top area there where it kind of hooks around. Well, modern Libya is included in that, but it actually is more of the countries around Libya as well. Now, verses 6 and 7, read that with me. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. Now, Gomer is more the north Turkey area and even into what we call southeast Europe. And then Gomer's bands include West Turkey and those islands around that area. And then you have Togarma, which actually is referred to as, it points us in the direction of Afghanistan today. And then you have Togarma's bands, which would be also some of those other Islamic Stan nations, as you call them. Turkmenistan is one of them. In verse 8, read that with me. After many days, thou shalt be visited in the latter years. Now stop there. Now, I was talking to Andrew just a little while ago. Context. And today, people will dismiss this and say, oh, this is talking about something that happened years ago. You can't find anything in history that matches this. You can't find anything in history where all those nations do what we're going to see they do here. This is future, and it tells you right there. After many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years. That's the same as equivalent of the last days. Same phrase. We refer to the end times. So again, read it again. After many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years, thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Now you got to look really closely, line upon line, at what you're reading there. What land has been brought back from the sword? Gathered out of many people. That's Israel. And then he tells you, against the mountains of Israel is where he's talking about all these nations coming into this land called the mountains of Israel. And there's no way of missing it. You can't spiritualize this, which a lot of people try to do. He specifies they came back from the sword 70 AD, and then again in 135 AD, the Jews were completely decimated and run out of that land. In 70 AD, there was still a good-sized remnant remaining, but by 135 AD, they had this guy rise up, and I can't remember his name right off the top of my head, but he was a false messiah, and the Jews thought they were going to come back and win, and they got stomped, and they were dispersed finally, until the late 19th century. And in the late 19th century, a bunch of unbelieving, Illuminatist Jews worked to get the Jews back in their land. And then because of the Holocaust and the slaughter of the Jews in Europe, the world community bowed down to their desire and gave them this land by an act of the United Nations. And in 1948, they declared themselves a nation after the British mandate was given up and the British left and the Jews established themselves as a nation. And Harry Truman, our president, was right on the hopper, immediately recognizing Israel as a nation. I believe that's why we got the atom bomb and Hitler didn't. I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. Guess who gave us the atom bomb? A bunch of German Jews. Hitler cut his own throat, ran the Jews out of his country. They came to America. America blessed Israel and recognized them as a nation that no one else could deny it after that. And we get the atom bomb. All that, I believe, is tied together. It's not just an accident. Now look, it says, which has always been waste. The news media liars pretend that there was a big thriving Arab community over there and the Jews ran them out and stole their land. It's a lie. And don't believe me, believe Mark Twain. Go read any of the reports of the people who lived in the end of the 19th century. Read the reports of people who visited over there through the centuries. And you'll find out that other than some times where the Muslims and the Crusaders set up camp there, other than that, it was nothing but a desolate wasteland. Mark Twain gave or what's his real name?
Samuel Clemens.
It was published in the papers in that day. And he said, this is amazing. There's nothing but rock and dirt here. And you can go for miles without seeing another human being. And he describes it. And that's the way it was. And when the Jews came back, they started buying the land. They didn't steal it. They bought huge portions of swamp and desert. They drained the swamp and got rid of the mosquitoes and the malaria. And they irrigated the desert, and suddenly things began to grow there for the first time since 135 A.D. They brought back a dead language called Hebrew, practicing a religion and culture that had been maintained since the time of 135 A.D. As apostate as it is, they still reject their Messiah. They still pretend to keep the Sabbath and have a temple they call a synagogue. It's all fake. It's not biblical. But it's been maintained since 135. And they all came back to the land in unbelief. Now, the reason I went into that is because you've got a bunch of dumb, stupid Gentiles here in America trying to tell you that what's going on in Israel isn't a fulfillment of Bible prophecy because the Jews went back. They still don't believe. They're in unbelief. That's what God said would happen. He said they would go back in unbelief. In Zechariah, it says when he returns, that two-thirds of them have been killed, and the one-third that remain are going to look upon him and mourn because they had rejected him right up to that moment. So when some ignoramus Gentile tells you that the Jews in Israel today are not a fulfillment of Bible prophecy, feel free to tell him how dumb he is. Somebody's got to start. They're taking over the churches and the seminaries and turning the whole Gentile population into a bunch of twits. How can you look at what's going on in Israel and deny God's hand? That's like the epitome of stupidity. Gentiles. That's why. They're jealous of the Jews. They always have been. Jews make money. Yeah, they control a lot of the money. Jews are business tycoons, man. Yeah. And you bunch of Gentiles are jealous.
Well, they're stupid. God ain't going to give stupid people the capability to handle money.
And you know what? Noah prophesied about us Gentiles that Japheth would dwell in the tents of Shem. Think about that. That's exactly what we've been doing. We've been living off of the Jews most of our entire history. The Jews built up the economy. There's a story that I can't remember who told this, but it said in Russia, a Russian man was talking to a Jewish man. And the Jewish Russian man looks at the Gentile Russian. And he says, you live in the village down the road there. What's the name of that? And he told him, you know, Gabakas or whatever it was. And he says, yes, I live there, and we don't have any Jews. And he says, yes, that's why it's still a village. Now, it's been always waste, but now it's brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. And people will actually try to tell you, and I might have made a note for that. People will try to tell you that, well, Israel's not dwelling safely. They're under threat all the time. Wait a minute. No, they are under threat, but they're safe. Every time the Arabs have tried to attack them, the Arabs have tucked tail and run. Man, if you want to see the hand of God, go watch the documentaries on these wars with Israel. And, you know, whether it's the 1948, 1967, 1973 Yom Kippur War, doesn't matter. They were outnumbered and should have lost every one of those. And you just look at it. God will not let Israel die.
Amen.
And if I can get political for just a second, if the Christians would stop selling their souls out to the neocons in the Republican Party, things might change in this country. Because you got a bunch of Republican neocons like George W. Bush who say, I love Jesus. And everybody says, oh, he's our man. And then he goes over and says, I support Israel. And what's he do? He tries to force them to disobey God and divide their land. And Joel 3 says, I'm going to destroy you, America. Joel 3, 1 and 2 says, I am going to take every one of you who are trying to force Israel to divide her land, and I am going to take you and bring you down to Armageddon. And I'm going to deal with you. And Christians have been misled by the leadership, the evangelical leaders of this country. Now, you should be pro-Israel. But that doesn't mean that just because some politician says, I'm pro-Israel, you get behind them. Because the best thing that could happen is for American Christians to start believing the Bible. The Bible says God is the defender of Israel, not the United States of America. We need to butt out. And if America would butt out and not do anything against Israel and voice our support for Israel, that's all we're required to do. Things would change. But it's not going to change because both parties want to divide that land. And just this past week, this is going to sound like I'm anti-Israel when I say this, but the blind leaders in Israel just demonstrated they're still blind. And they gave the Pope part of his request for the city of Jerusalem. And the word is that they're lining up to hand over huge portions of the city of Jerusalem over to Vatican control. Why would they do that? They think they're going to get peace by giving up land. They're blind. The Vatican declares, I don't know if you know this or not, but the Vatican claims Jerusalem as their capital. You say, what do you mean? It's a country. Vatican is a state in the United Nations.
In its 80-year history, the Vatican State has proved itself to be adaptable and capable of rising to both past and future challenges, be they related to the Pope's mission, the Church's needs, or the constantly changing situation in society. Pope Benedict's remarks came in an address to participants at the seminar held in Rome, marking the anniversary of the Lateran Pacts, signed on February the 11th, 1929. The Pope especially praised the far-sighted work carried out by Pope Pius XI, who wanted the treaty in order to give the Church full independence. Today, the Vatican State, with its treasures of faith, history and art, is the custodian of a precious heritage for all mankind. And from its heart, the tomb of St. Peter, where the Pope resides, it raises an unceasing message of true social progress, hope, reconciliation and peace.
The Pope isn't a religious leader. He's a political leader who also heads up a cult. And he claims to be the head of the world. Go look it up. And one of these days, there's coming a Pope who's going to be head of the world. He's called the Antichrist. And these evangelical preachers who don't preach that to you today, they do it because of cold, hard cash. They don't tell you the truth about the Pope being the Antichrist and there coming a final Pope that's going to be the Antichrist over there because they will lose money if they do so.
That concludes part one of our four-part study of Ezekiel 38 and the Gog-Magog War. These messages will be posted on our website at kjvbiblebelievers.com on a page listed as Gog-Magog in our video page menu, where you will find past and future messages dealing with this subject. If you would like to write to us, we can be reached by addressing your letter to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. That address again is P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. The Ministry of Bible Believers Fellowship and KJV, BibleBelievers.com, is funded by free will offerings, and we do appreciate those of you who have sent gifts to help keep this ministry on the air and to support our vast and growing online presence. On behalf of the Bible Believers Fellowship family here in Central Ohio, I am Pastor Greg, and we thank you for listening.